I would love to start a movement where people just believed in their gifts and they all lived their very own gifted lives. Humans struggle because they're trying to be inauthentic or live outside of what their gifts are. So it's really connecting with this whole notion of giftedness and focusing on where you're good instead of making up for deficits.
Oh, I am so excited today. So excited on so many levels. As you all know, I am passionate about human design. And the reason why I'm passionate is my life is almost unrecognizable since I started living it, my own unique design 2.5 years ago. And so I'm experiencing the daily benefits of this, applying it to my life. And to me, human design is a tool for knowing yourself, healing yourself, and ultimately loving yourself. Not the version of you that everyone tells you you need to be, but you, the true you. And my personal mission and the mission of this brand, Mastering Your Human Design, is to make human design more accessible and relatable to a wider audience. And so one of the ways I've chosen to do this is to show how human design can coexist with other modalities for knowing yourself, okay? And we're familiar with a lot of these other tools like the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, DISC, and Clifton Strength among the 2,000 others, right? There are so many different ways to study yourself and take personality assessments, et cetera. And what I like to tell people is that human design coexists and can help amplify the benefits of all of these other modalities because it's going to give you a deeper interpretation unique to you when you know your unique human design blueprint. And so to that end, today's guest is the marvelous Debbie Mitchell. Debbie is an expert in Clifton Strengths. She uses it in her practice and consulting as a career coach and a public speaker. And she has spent much of her career in human resources or human resources-like experiences, helping leaders at all levels reach their highest potential in a variety of organizations, large and small. And this interview is particularly special to me because Debbie and I went to Stanford together. Oh, I don't know why. So when Debbie and I first got on this call this morning, and we even did just sort of aligning our thoughts call a week ago, but there is this well of tenderness that keeps coming up for me. And I think it's because when I went live with the first iteration of this brand that we called To Be Authentic, Debbie was really, I think, the only person who reached out on LinkedIn with this beautiful support and invitation to connect. Do you remember, Debbie? Like It was right before our reunion that I didn't go to.
Yes.
And there was such a tenderness and openness there. And because for me to step out into this world of human design felt for a long time super risky. Because it's not the Harvard MBA thing that someone typically does, right? And so there was this element of revealing this whole other side of who I am and being terrified at the same time. And realizing that I had to be okay with it being rejected. With people thinking it was too weird, or where has Stacey gone? Right, like she's gone off the deep end. And so your outreach just really touched my heart. And so when it came time to choosing experts to represent these different assessments, I started to go through my network. And in human design terms, I am a 4 line. And, you know, some of the people listening will know what that means, but it's in my profile line. I'm a 4-1. And when you have a four in your profile lines, basically it's a way of sort of describing your way. And people with four lines are all about these intimate connections. And what happens for them is typically their best opportunities happen through the people that they know in this moment. And as just an aside, I reached out to someone because I don't know anyone in my network who knows Myers-Briggs. And sure enough, I reached out to someone and even we started to go down the path and then I never heard from them again. I'm like, because they weren't in my network. And I thought, oh, this is so interesting. It doesn't mean they might not one day show up on my show, but I just thought this is so interesting because when I reached out to somebody who was in my network with this opportunity, it was you and it felt so easeful. I love the word easeful. I think I've been making that up, but there's something about it that I just love. So anyway, so Debbie, welcome. I am so deeply honored and happy that you're here. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Gosh, what a warm and lovely introduction. I think you should just come like sit on my nightstand. And then in the morning when my little eyes flutter open with, of course, no makeup and everything beautiful, the freshest of minty bread, that you could be there saying all those lovely things. What a way to start. Now, well, I'm excited to be here, Stacey. Thank you for including me.
I'm so happy. I want to know what's going on for you in your body right now. Like, how are you feeling?
Ooh, wow, what a question to start off with. You know, a little bit of nervousness, right? I think just around, okay, what are you going to ask me about? And just a little of the unknown. But honestly, right now, I just kind of feel peaceful. I mean, I feel like I'm going to be talking to an old and dear friend. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited.
I love that. Before we get into talking about Clifton Strengths and your journey in that area, I would love to hear what it was like for you when I reached out to you to invite you on this show. How did that feel to you?
Sure.
And how did you know that this was something that was worth saying yes to? How did you know that? What did it feel like in your body? I'm all about what does it feel like in your body?
Well, I can tell you that my initial reaction, I was a little bit surprised, but I was also very excited and intrigued because I have been really curious about this human design thing. And I follow you on LinkedIn and I read the posts and it's all very, it just resonates with me, like the understanding of yourself and who you are and why you are and how you do all of those things. But for anybody who may be listening for the first time, that don't know you well, or maybe people who've been following you for a long time, I got to tell you, when we were at Stanford, Stacey was like one of my, I don't know, hero is not exactly the right word, but she was always someone that I could point to and go, oh my gosh, look at what she's doing. Oh my gosh, she's awesome. And this megawatt smile and was just everywhere, right? You were one of our senior class presidents and just like this woman, or at the time I probably would have said this girl, is everywhere. And I don't know if I'm jealous or excited or some combination of both. So to have you reach out to me and say, hey, I want to talk to you on my podcast. I was like, what? This is like a full circle thing happening. And I am here for it. So, and I hope you're okay if I drink my coffee.
Oh, please, please hold that mug up because I need to read it for everyone. Be strong. So beautiful.
Want to see the other side?
I do. Do the work. That is beautiful. I love it. So I love what you just shared, because what you just described were our respective energy types. And I know you're new to human design, or you're actually not familiar with it. So the reason why I asked you, what was it like to be invited when I reached out to invite you? You are a projector. You're a 1-3 projector. And I realize all of this is completely new to you.
Ready, and jargony.
But to the people who are listening, who are familiar with their human design, and especially the projectors, invitation is the way that your energy works. And with projectors in particular, there can be this feeling if they're not being recognized, and not just recognized like, oh, you're so smart, you're so good, you're so talented. No, recognized uniquely for what you are here to offer. And so what you said when I reached out and wanted to interview you for my podcast, I had a very, very specific reason that I was reaching out to you for your gifts, for your experience, for our history and relationship, right? So it was an invitation that was unique to you. It wasn't just some random request, right? And you felt that. And what you described about me in college, that's classic manifesting generator energy. And I'm a manifesting generator. And I've got from the sacral to the throat, I have gate 3420, the channel of charisma, which is the traditional human design term. And I have it conscious and unconscious. And we call it the energizer. But that's basically also what you were picking up on. And so I wanted to give you that sense of the things about auras and energy types. And even these bits of information, Debbie, are so transformative for people when they enter the world of human design, because they're like, oh, now I get that. Like I had a complex because I was all over the place doing all kinds of things. And there are times when people would think I'm not to be taken seriously, right? Because I don't stick with anything, or I'm doing all this. But anyway, that's another conversation, another day. But we can develop these complexes for the way that we're naturally designed to show up in the world. I am designed to be doing all the things. That's my energy type. If I put myself in a small space and don't allow that, I'm not showing up in this body, in this life, in the way that I'm supposed to in order to evolve and elevate humanity, because that's what this is about. So anyway, I just wanted to start there. And any thoughts before we dive into Clifton Strengths? Any response or thoughts to that?
I'm very intrigued now. And also, I completely agree with the need and the benefit of being authentic to the human that you came onto the planet as. Because when you can get to that and toss off all these other facades of yourself, or trying to fit into roles and places and communities that don't serve you because they're not authentic to you, that totally resonates.
I feel like I'm in the Church of Debbie, and I'm so excited about this conversation. I always know it's going to be a good episode and interview when I get to the end of our, you know, planning session. I'm like, God dang it, why didn't I record that? Right? There were so many times I wish I had recorded our conversation, but I know we're going to do that and more on this one. So Debbie, I want to turn the floor over to you.
Okay.
Tell us, for those especially who are not familiar with Clifton Strengths, what is Clifton Strengths and what was its appeal to you? Because again, there are any number of places you could have gone to be an expert, to dedicate yourself, to learn all the details, to go deep, because you're a 1-3. One lines, this is another little juicy bit on your on the way that you're built.
Okay.
This means that you're an investigator, right? You've got this inquiry, this need to know, and this need to go down all the rabbit holes for the thing that you're interested in. Okay. So why Clifton Strengths? What is it and why did it appeal to you?
So love that question. And people ask me that fairly often, just, you know, why Strengths of all the kinds of tools that are available, bodies of knowledge and research. And for me, it's really basic. And it was kind of the intersection of two things. As I got older and became a parent and just kind of in the world of working and trying to understand, especially in the field of human resources, why people do what they do, like things that didn't make sense. I really had this belief that, again, all of us came to the planet built a certain way, wired a certain way, I should say. There were just things inherent in us that are just there. We had nothing to do with it. Came to us, came with it. And there was a period in my life when I was kind of really struggling with my purpose and my identity and what I should be accomplishing and all of that. And I had entered a coaching cohort for me to be coached. And we had an exercise of, you know, an ideation exercise. Tell us what your world would be like if you could create it. And I said, you know what? I would love to start a movement where people just believed in their gifts. And they all lived their very own gifted lives. And when I said it out loud, then I was like, oh, that's too much. And so I put it away. And but I realized that what I was feeling was that humans struggle because they are trying to be inauthentic or live outside of what their gifts are. So I was really connecting with this whole notion of giftedness and focusing on where you're good instead of making up for deficits. And that is the whole principle around Clifton Strengths. So Don Clifton is a psychologist. I can't even say the year, back in the earlier part of the 19th century. And he developed this. He did lots of studies and tests and research around, I guess I would say it, how people are wired and what their strengths are. And he narrowed it down to 30-something tenets that everybody has. So that became, it was Strengths Finder. Then it became Clifton Strengths. And what I loved about it, two things. Philosophy was, everybody's got everything, right? So it's not like you come without everything you need. Clifton Strengths says there are orders of importance or frequency. So when Clifton Strengths looks at your top five or your top 10, what it's saying is, of all the 34 that you have, when you show up in your life just in ordinary ways, your go-tos are these top five and top 10, right? People don't even recognize their strengths because you just do it. You don't know anything else to do. And my top five are going to be different from yours or anybody else's. And there's a one in eight, multiple millions, 3 million plus, that I would have the exact same strengths in the exact same order as another human being. So it is very individualized. The other thing I really loved about Strengths is that it didn't require me to learn a whole new language, I guess, to describe myself. It was executed in just regular parlance, regular words that we use on a daily basis. So we probably don't use parlance But that's what attracted me, right? Like I've done a lot of the other assessments, but if I walk up to somebody who's never done, say, Enneagram, and I say, well, I'm a 9, you look at me and you go, okay, you're a 9, but I don't have any more information about you.
Yeah.
But if I walk up to you and say, yeah, so I'm somebody who's really adaptable. I exhibit, you know, high amounts of empathy, positivity. I am an individualizer, so I look at people as individual. What makes you unique, I recognize is different than what makes that guy unique. And you can understand that. So that was the other thing that I loved about it. Focusing on what you're best at, what you're good at, and leaning heavily into those things. And that it was just it was understandable. Easy to communicate, easy to understand.
I love that. And I actually have to say, I really envy the plain language aspect of it, because in the human design world, this is one of the most off-putting places. But it's also where what our brand, Mastering Your Human Design, is about, is to actually create a skin that is verbally and visually, like, yes, translating. It's creating a window, a friendly, inviting window into, yes, the deeper study, but it's relatable. What I love about what you said, you know, well, first of all, man, focusing on where you're good at versus your deficits, I mean, that is just, that's a mic drop moment, right? And that's very much what human design is about as well. And what I focus on first in the way I approach human design, because again, we're all individuals, we're going to approach it differently. But one of the things I look at first in clients or any chart that I'm looking at, I love to look at the channels. And the channels are the activations in you. So similar to strengths, we have everything operating in us. Even if it's not lit up, even if it's not in, like you were saying, the top five, it's still in us. It's still part of the way we show up as a human being. But there are certain things when they're activated in our design that are the things that we are going to, they are our immediate toolkit, right? And I loved how, right, you said, you know, people in strengths, you might not even know how you're showing up because it's so native to you. You know, it's a fish swimming, yes, in water that doesn't know it's in water, right?
Right. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. So back to you. Keep telling us about strengths. And by the way, I'm looking for mine as we speak. So, because I want to get your thoughts on what mine are. Just, you see so many people, right? Okay.
Yeah. So the other thing that really attracted me to this was that during the pandemic, I'm caregiving for my mother who had dementia and teenage daughter. We're all here together. And, you know, she's kind of struggling, my daughter, with her, just some of her interpersonal relationships and just going through that teen, figuring out who I am and what's my purpose and why am I like this? And why am I not like you or anybody else? I found that strengths was a simple way for me to understand and then have some basic language that I could use with her to explain, yeah, everybody's different. No one's going to show up the same. You don't have to try to be like them or like me because you're you and we need you. And this is what I see in you. I even had her take the youth version of an assessment just to be able to show her, right? This is who you are.
Wow. That is a number one parenting, man. Let them be who they are. Meant to be.
And it's hard because, you know, we both had the amazing opportunity to show up at a place like Stanford and there was a definite path that kind of gets you there and then what it looks like when you're there. And that was not her path. And so I was like, do I need to be doing something different? What have I done? And it just helped me to get comfortable with, no, this is her. This is who she is. Let her be that spectacular human that she is.
When human design came into the world in 1987, it was channeled to this guy named Ra, and he was in Ibiza, Spain, and you know, suddenly he hears this voice. So it's really strange how this all came in, but then the whole system, it was just downloaded, and it wound up becoming this beautiful, elegant, ancient Chinese I Ching, the energy centers, you know, informed by the Hindu Brahman chakras, the Kabbalic tree of life. So there are a number, let's just say, esoteric sciences that all come together to create this beautiful system. But the thing he always said was, human design is for the children. And what he meant by that was, it was for those of us who are around children that are coming into this life for the next era of humanity. It's going to be all about individuality. It is not about playing a role. It is not about fitting in. It is not about all the labels. It is about you being uniquely you. And it's our job to support them. So when you know that your child is a manifestor type, for example, that's an energy type, and that energy type does not want to be told what to do. If you're a parent who's sitting there trying to control that child, you're setting that child up for a life of second-guessing themselves, of playing small because they haven't been given permission to just be who they are. And they are people who need to use their voice, and they need to be big, and they need to inhabit this space of channeling whatever inspiration comes their way to bring into the world. But if you've been told all your life, you need to do what I tell you, that stifles that child, and that's the conditioning. And so I just love what you just described. I mean, number one, parenting, man, right? Like giving your child that room to just be who they are and to flourish. And I love how you're using strengths for that too. There's a juvenile, a youth version of strengths. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's a much more basic assessment. It's not as long, not as many questions. You don't have to be a super reader to be able to get through the assessment. And the output is definitely geared towards a younger cohort. It's a little bit simpler to understand, fewer questions. The output is in language that's more appropriate to, you know, a student more so than an adult.
I love that. So Debbie, tell us about Clifton's strengths, just from sort of a practical framework perspective. Like, how is it structured? We know there are 36 or however many. And how do we tell us how it's set up.
Sure, absolutely. So Clifton Strengths is built on four domains, right? The four domains are relationship building, influencing, executing, and strategic thinking. So, and within those four domains, all of the 34 strengths fit in one of those. So it makes it an easy way to be able to look at your strengths and see which domain most of yours may lie in. If you're talking to somebody else, where they're at, or when you look at group and team activities, that's where it's especially powerful, like in a corporate setting. So if you're doing a team activity and you've got a goal and a deadline, you need to make sure you don't have people just like me that are all about the relationship building. You need some executors on that team, or you're going to be talking about it and happy and loving it. Woo! This is good. I appreciate you so much. And nothing's going to get done. All right, that isn't very much an exaggeration, right? We use different tools, but I'm telling you, it's the truth of my life.
I love it.
So your strengths fit in those domains, and you can use it as a way, just kind of like we were laughing, but like for me, and this has been true for most of my professional life, but this gave me like the lens to see it and a way to understand it. I can come up with great ideas. I can encourage those that work with me and around me. I can help pull teams together. But I'm at my best when I have a good partner, whether it, you know, at one point was an administrative assistant or something like that, or somebody on my team that was really good at heads down, detail, let's get all that done. Because that is not one of my strengths. I can do it. I can get stuff done. But it is not the highest and best use of who I am, right? And I had a very good friend, a former colleague, and he would tell me, he's like, why is it taking so long for you to finish this? I'm like, finish. It was just fun to really talk about it, think about it. No, but it's just how I'm wired.
So, Debbie, I have a question, quick question. You just used the phrase, it's not the highest best use of who I am. What is the highest best use of you? I'd love to know.
Okay. The highest and best use of who I am is helping you find a connection point to another human being, whether that is through networking and like in some of the coaching work that I do. I'll work with a young person that says, I really want to work for XYZ Corporation, but it's so big and I've sent my resume and I don't know how to get in there. And I'll say, okay, let's look through my contacts. Let's talk to people that you know, your friends' parents. What do they do? You tell me who you need to meet. I will figure out a way to get that introduction. That's one of my highest and best ways.
It feels to me everything that you're describing about yourself is everything's personal for you. Right? Like it is about the personal connection. It is about showing others how to create those personal connections, which is so important in an age when what we think is intimate and personal really is not.
Yes,
you know, liking a post is not intimate or personal, right?
Correct.
And it feels like, oh, there's a real gift there. That's, for lack of a better phrase, I'm just going to use it. It's old school. It's like being in person.
Right. Exactly. And a thing that you also just alluded to, which is one of my strengths, it's called individualization. And the definition of that is the ability to see every human as a unique and special person that has their own gifts, that I approach differently. The way I talk to you or have a conversation with you or connect with you is going to be completely different than a way I would with someone else because I see all the things that make you, you.
So I want to share something really special about your chart, your human design chart.
Sure.
And based on what you just said, and just to let the listeners know, we'll put Debbie's chart up on the website for reference. The things that you described are really, really special. So first of all, your projector energy, this is a very deep penetrating energy. It's very much about one-on-one. It's very much about tuning into the other, which is why for projectors, and again, I know labels can be very constraining, but projector is just shorthand for this kind of energy type, which is the energy type of a guide. You are there to guide. So the fact that you do the work that you do is very much in alignment with the way that your energy is designed to work, right? It's intimate. It's one-on-one. And it doesn't mean that you can't be speaking to big audiences because you do. It doesn't mean that you can't be leading great teams. But the way that you show up is always going to be with that sort of energy of a guy, the energy of the intimate. Mm. I'm invested in you, right? I see you. This is the energy. It's an energy of I see you. And so the way that the dynamic of the projector works, it's why this nature of being invited, literally or figuratively, right? Waiting to speak up or share your insight until you feel welcomed, right? Until there's acknowledgement and recognition for your gift. So a lot of times projectors have this ability. They see the answer. They see the truth. They see the future. You see in your clients who they can be. Mm-hmm. But unless they've signaled in some way that they're ready to hear it, you have to kind of hold yourself back. Otherwise, it's going to backfire. And so a lot of times what happens for projectors, and this is the wayfinding, energetic wayfinding, they feel very bitter and resentful because they have all the answers and no one's asking for them. Right. And when they say them, they get, you know, dismissed or whatever. So a lot is about really tuning into that energetic alignment with your audience. And you have that when you are working with clients, they have invited you, right? Because right. That's why they're with you. They're like, Tell me what I need to know. The other thing I want to point out is when you said, first of all, you meet with everyone as an individual and you're really good at seeing them for who they uniquely are and mm-hmm. what they can do, how they can grow. So that is partly that projector nature, but you also have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful channel of structuring. This is traditional human design language. So getting back to the language. Okay. So I'm introducing you to sort of the strange language, which is the traditional language. And I really don't mean that. Like, I value this stuff so much, but I've had to create my own layer of interpretation. But it's called, in traditional human design terms, the channel of structuring. It's the design of a genius to freak. What we call it is the disruptor. And what we mean by that is the disruptor comes in, sees all the chaos, and is like, boom, right? Like, they have this like lightning bolt insight breakthrough. This is the answer. And it's funny because I have a couple of clients who are venture capitalists, very successful, mm-hmm. and they're always the ones seeing that's the way to go. That's the direction. That's the mm-hmm. big idea. That's the breakthrough. That's the insight. Whereas for everyone else, they're still caught in all of the chaos and studying the patterns, right? So you have this gift of being able to bring this disruptive insight to, and disruptive, I mean, in a good way, right? It could be also be in, it could be used in a bad way, I suppose, too. But when you're in alignment, you're going to be bringing these disruptive insights to your audience that are going to shake them awake. The other channel that you have that I want to point out is this channel between the heart and the G center, which is in traditional human design terms is called the channel of initiation. And we call it the maverick because the energetics of it are, this is somebody who loves to be first. If you have a tendency or a pattern in your life of, I'll be the first to try it, right? I'll be the first to do this or the first to do that. That's a very channel of initiation or maverick thing to do. But it's mm-hmm. not just about you being first. The point of you being first is so that you can initiate others. And so just like what you've done, you went first with strengths, right? Clifton Strengths. You figured mm-hmm. it out for yourself as a one line is going to do. You tried a bunch of things out and now you're bringing others forward, right? With this mm-hmm. tool, with this technique, you did it with your daughter. You're doing it with your clients. So I just wanted to show you there are a number of things in here that are aligning with the journey that you've been on. Yeah.
I love this, Stacey. That's really, really interesting. You know, when you were talking about that maverick kind of spirit, what that kind of pointed me back to was like in my top five, there's something that we call maximizer.
Oh, yes.
And maximizer strengths like to see something ordinary or typical and go, oh, no, 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 no. No, that simply isn't enough. Why do this when we could do this, right?
Dude, that's it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And that is definitely me, right? Like, well, sure, you could, you know, do this job or write this letter or have this interview, but why not go all out, do something they haven't seen before or do something that's going to set you apart from everyone else.
Who do you work with? Who are your clients? Or the typical people?
So my coaching clients, I have a soft spot and a passion for people who are early in their career, young people who are either in college, just graduating from college, and trying to find their way. So recent grad launch pad is what I call my coaching service for young people. And now even recent high school graduates who decided, yeah, college isn't my deal for whatever reason. Those are my typical clients, my primary clients. I also work with, I'll work with people at any stage in their career. I've had a lot of women who for some reason life has thrown something at them, whether that be the end of a job or the end of a relationship or their kids leave and now they're empty nesters and they're trying to figure out what to do, and just kind of helping them think through, okay, what's next? What could be? If I give you the magic wand, tell me what it would look like.
I love that.
It's fun. It's really fun. And also I will say, you know, even in my corporate role, I love to do the same thing with employees, right? Don't feel like you're stuck in this job or that you have no power or agency to make something happen. What do you need? What are you looking for? You can find it here, but it's not going to walk into your office or through your Zoom screen. You're going to do something different. And so you're going to have to take some steps, right? And let's figure out together where your talents are, what your dreams are, what your goals are. Let's figure out how to get you there.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're an ego projected projector. My sister is one too.
And okay. What does that mean?
The way that, yeah, exactly, right? There's the language again, right? So what this means for you is as you move through life, and I'd be curious if what comes up for you are, oh, that's why such and such didn't work. So for you, you are to make your decisions. And again, I think of human design as moving away from the mind, right? All the decision-making of the mind, because the mind is shrouded in our ego defense, right? Against being hurt, against the wounds from our childhood or our adulthood, against ever feeling that pain again. And so the mind overcompensates to steer us away from the very things that we sometimes need in order to become who we're supposed to be. And so human design, to my mind, it's just very simple. It's embodied intelligence. It's learning to trust your embodied intelligence. To me, the beauty of the blueprint and the human design world is that we can busy the mind with stuff and make it our ally, right? But we don't allow it to make our decisions for us. It can come in and it can analyze and it can say the pros and the cons and all of that. But the decision comes from what you're feeling in your body. And so the ego projected projector, this is a heart-centered sensation. You might feel it in another part of your body, but it's basically following the seeds of your true desire. And the challenge for the ego projected projector is discerning between a false desire and a true desire, right? The false desire, if you guys can see Debbie's face, this is the work, right? It goes back to your mug, do the work. This is the work. And the thing that I love about strengths or human design, these disciplines, I feel like what they're all trying to do is help us be more present, be more conscious, be more in the moment and know ourselves. And I feel like that's the call to action for human design. The more that I am in touch with what does my sacral feel like? Is this a sacral yes? Because sacral is my decision-making authority. Is it a sacral yes? Or is this coming from my mind? Because my mind is saying, oh, you really should do that. The mind is always coming up with the shoulds, right? The shoulds, the freaking shoulds. But anyway, but you you made such a wonderful expression. I want to hear what was on your mind about about discerning between, you know, the true desires, the true heartfelt desires in you, because you are supposed to follow desire. Like, I'm not supposed to follow desire. I just follow where my body is physically pulling me. Right? Literally, if I'm doing a post or content creation, I look at a list and it's like, whichever one actually lit my belly up, right? Like whichever one, that's the one I'm supposed to do. Yeah. I don't know why, but for me, that's my mechanic, because it is a mechanic. It's not, the mind is not involved. You know, if I'm, I've got to actually consciously get the mind out and park it, you know? So anyway, can you talk about that, the role of desire, and how has that shown up in your decision-making and where has that led you? Whatever you're comfortable. And actually maybe talk about first, like a moment where, like where that really resonates, where you knew this was my desire and it wasn't rational. I'm making stuff up right now, but because these are the times when we learn to trust our embodied intelligence, when we actually follow that embodied intelligence without reasoning. We just know. Right. It's like, I can't not go in this direction. Like this, for whatever reason, it's pulling me. I'm going to go. And then you see why, right? You're so darling. You are so adorable.
Of all these things that are going through my head, which one do I feel comfortable recording and sharing? Right?
Totally. Take your time.
So, all right, just to make sure that I'm clearly thinking and understanding what you're saying. This ego projecting ego, right?
Ego projected projector. Technically, it's ego projected projector. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So balancing what our true desires are with what a false desire is, right? So what we really want with what other inputs and maybe ego-led inputs.
Yes, totally. Totally.
So you want, okay.
So I just want to say for the listener, so I find the language of ego projected projector to be very clunky. And I also find there's inconsistency when we talk about decision-making authorities. Sometimes it's called, you know, the organ, so the spleen. In the case of emotional authority, it's actually the solar plexus. So it's inconsistent. The ego is actually connected to the heart energy center. So mm-hmm. in our world, we are going to refer to it as the heart. Anyway, I'm just saying that for our listeners because I just feel like there needs to be a consistency. And a lot of times ego gets confused with ego, right? And so it can be very confusing because it's not meant to be it's not meant to refer to the small ego, right? In terms of the petty ego, the ego that's trying to prove itself, even though that's the energy of this center. And I think it can be really confusing because when you're operating in alignment, to say it's you're an ego projected projector and you're operating in alignment with your ego, to me, there's cognitive dissonance there, right? Because this is a long drawn out way to say it's really the energy of your heart. And the heart is the energy of desire and the will to follow something through, to make a commitment and a will because you're really genuinely being pulled in that direction. But it really is about this sense of desire. What is your true desire? Mm-hmm. Hopefully that offers a little bit of
more clarity. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Again, I can think of many situations where I have kind of turned away from what my heart was really telling me to go with something that maybe seemed more logical or seemed to be more respectable, or this is the way everyone else would handle this thing. And one thing that has come up for me, like professionally, is that like I'm in a role professionally right now outside of my coaching that I love, right? Like, and I love it because my boss is fantastic. The team that I work with is great. I feel like I have so much that I can give and share in that regard. But outside of me, people who know me professionally, not my closest friends, but people who know me professionally would say, why did you take that role? Because it seems like it may not match with your experience. You could be doing so much more than that. Or you could be at a different type of organization. Or you should be managing, you know, 150 people reporting to you. And so that logic of, well, yeah, I could do that. And yeah, maybe you're right. But also this feeling at this time in this role, just like I had no hesitation, even though logically it may not have made the most sense. Does that fit? Right? I love the work I'm doing. I love it. It's funny and I'm learning a lot and it's exhausting. And at the same time, I feel like I'm putting good things in, working with good people, able to mentor and grow people, which is what I love. Am I going to get rich No. But also, I've had enough insight into the fact that that is not the end all be all. That is not the solve to everything that others assume that it may be. So, yeah. And then I have some like life decisions that I think through as well. Things that are future oriented and trying to make decisions around those things that when I talk to folks about that, they're going, why would you do that? Like literally, where did that come from? But I feel like what I can see that maybe they can't see is that this decision seems illogical today. But what I see down the road in a couple of years is making this decision today, in a couple of years from now, it will all make sense to everyone else. But then I fight too against that. Well, am I really deciding this? So that's why all the faces, because I am
well,
meeting my mind.
No, well, I'll tell you. So what you just described, it's, there's a part of your chart and it's in your profile lines. It is your way. And your way is this investigator on one hand, the one line. And the three is about endless experimentation. Trying this, trying that. Some things work, some things don't. Mm-hmm. And that can make a lot of people, you have to have a really strong sense of self in order to live that. And a lot of the human design term for that is martyr. It's like, okay, that is not a very fun term. We call it endless experimentation. We're focusing on the essence of how it shows up. And these mm-hmm. people show up and they try and fail in quotes, right? Because it's all about gathering information.
Yes.
And people with three lines actually don't feel like it's failure. But of course, like we still live in a society and you're like, I feel like people are second guessing me and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And even though you have a defined heart center, which is where the ego resides, there is still pressure, you know,
yes.
because we live in a society where we've been indoctrinated to believe that we've been sold a bill of goods that certain things will guarantee our satisfaction and our happiness.
Right?
And it's like, you know what? Actually, tried that, didn't work. And
yeah.
And so now a lot of us are saying, I'm going to do it my way, but we still want to feel loved and included and appreciated and respected and seen, most of all, just seen and appreciated.
Yes.
And that can feel very lonely and painful when you don't feel fully seen. It's lonely and painful for me as a 4-1 with a lot of integration in my chart. It's lonely and painful for you as a 1-3 with the 3 in your chart. Who's like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it this way as a projector. If someone's not uniquely seeing you for your gifts and you just feel like you're not fully appreciated, that's going to happen. I have a question. How did this opportunity come to you? Because to me, what I see happening when first of all, I wanted to share with all the listeners, this is the sound of an aligned ego projected projector, to use the human design terminology. When Debbie was talking about this work she's doing, that's not her coaching, but is a different work, the way she is vibrating, she is radiant, beaming, beautiful, and you just want to be around that energy. I'm curious how that invitation came to you, because that, again, is part of knowing it's aligned, because it whatever came to you to recognize your full projector nature, right? Your unique gifts. You, Debbie Mitchell, not just any, you know, person doing
right.
what you're there
right.
doing. Can you talk
right.
about that?
Sure. So
does that resonate? That's really the
yes,
question.
It does. It does. And here's why. So I remember this very clearly, sitting in my office on a Sunday afternoon, getting ready for the week. And I got a message on my phone, and it was from someone who I had known some years ago. We had known each other professionally back when I lived in the DC area. We both worked in HR, different companies. We'd never worked together, but we knew each other professionally. And hadn't spoken in years and years and years and years and years. But someone I considered, you know, I really respected and great professional, professional friend. All of a sudden, I pick up my phone and it's a message from her. And she said, hey, I've got an opportunity that I'm trying to fill. Do you have anybody in your network that might be interested in this? And I automatically, you know, when you get those reach outs, which you probably even do sometimes or have in your life, and you're like, are they really asking me or are they really asking for someone? So I'm just going to investigate this further and just see what happens. And I said, well, tell me a little bit more. And so she kind of laid out the scenario and I went, well, I'm probably interested. Like it was totally, totally out of the blue. And it ended up turning into an amazing opportunity for me that I was excited about, right? Wasn't looking for it. I was doing my thing. And here came this opportunity that just felt right at the right time on the right Sunday afternoon. And right, like even the fact that I could connect right away like that, that I was right there and available and open. That's kind of how it came about.
I love that. That is the beauty of invitation, aligned invitation. And just to be clear, projectors don't need to wait for somebody to show up in their email, right? Like you're recognizing yourself in just doing the things that you're drawn to, right? In your case, that your heart is drawing you to, that your embodied intelligence is saying, hey, I think I want to dig around over here, right?
Yeah.
Other projectors have different authorities, but their projector nature will always be to recognize themselves first. They're not waiting around for someone to anoint them. And basically you were doing the stuff, you were going about your life and out of the blue, this other thing came in. Like, I love that. It's so beautiful. Yes. I want to point out one other thing that I'm amused by, because when you talked about how great you felt when you were with all these people that you're working with, so you're what's called a split definition. And I have a split definition too. And it basically means that in your chart, and just so everyone knows, Debbie, as a good one, every time I bring up a term, she writes it down. She's going to go investigate it. I know exactly what she's going to do when she gets off of this. She's writing all this stuff down. She's like, okay, I got to go investigate.
Right. Exactly. I need to know more. What is this?
So I just want you to know, I see you. I see you fully, right? Because I got that one line too, okay? Okay, so what I wanted to show you is, so you're a split definition. So if you can see on my screen here, you have one sort of circuit, let's just call it one energy with these two defined centers connected through this 2551. You also have the head, ajna, and throat connected. But what's where they're broken, if you will, is between the G and the throat. And so you have, for the human design people, gate 31, gate 8, and gate 33, all activated in you. One unconscious, two conscious. But the gates on the other side, the harmonic gates, are not active, okay? That's what's called a split. If you had the gate 7, 1, or 13, you would have one continuous energetic flowing through you. So what's important for people who have these energetic splits, these splits in their definition, is to be around others, right? So that others can bridge. It's called bridging the split. So just as a point of fact, I have the 13 and I have the 1. So I have two of the three gates that you need to bridge. You have, so where I'm split is the 4323. This is the disruptor channel, the one where you said the maximizer, right? In your vernacular.
Yes.
And so that channel, you have the whole channel, which basically fortifies me. And again, this isn't about us going out. I was on a call yesterday in the Gene Keys. It's not about going out and finding all the people with all the right numbers. Like that's not it.
Right.
But what happens is when you start to use these techniques and tools, you start to notice and you observe things. And so when I noticed, like for me, the only gate I'm missing, I only need one gate to close my split definition, and it's gate 23. When I went and looked at like all the charts of people in my, you know, closer sphere, like 90% of them have gate 23. I thought this is just uncanny. My two best clients have gate 23. And it's like, oh, because there's something that happens energetically when we're around others, because we're borrowing that energy,
right? There's just a connection that's happening there energetically that allows us to operate more fluidly. And that's the only way I can explain it. We're all energetic beings and we're activating each other in different ways, right? It goes back to where we started, that we have everything in us, whether it's the 34 strengths or the 36 channels and 64 gates in human design. But some things are in our immediate toolbox and the rest of it we grow into, right?
Yes.
Is the way we think about it. Anyway, any last thoughts? I mean, can I share with you my strengths? First of all, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But first, is there anything you want to respond to on what I just said? Because I don't want to leave you hanging there.
No, well, I think as you were saying it, what I went to was, yes, in strengths, it is very similar, right? Like, again, the things that I lean into most heavily that are my go-tos when I work with others, when I connect with other people. It's not people, not necessarily people who are just like me that have the same strengths. I fully appreciate and recognize other people's strengths. And I know and can look for in others what's going to be helpful. How are we going to appreciate each other, build each other up, make what could be fine into something glorious by that combination? So. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So here's what I have for my strengths. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, ideation. Number two, strategic. Number three, command. Number four, intellection. I swear that's my channel of logic in human design. And number five, input. Four of them are green and one of them is yellow. I imagine that has to do with the groups, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Or the domains.
The domains, yeah. Yes. That is really interesting.
Really?
Because you and I together working on something, a project, a podcast, or whatever, that is like, pew.
I had a feeling. That's our 4323 too. Well, you have that, but you're bridging the 23. Yeah. And our human design charts would do the same thing. Yeah.
Really? They overlay and...
Yeah, I think we might still have undefined solar plexus, but everything else would be filled in. It'd be filled in a really complementary way. So Debbie, this has been so delightful and so honored by your presence, so honored by your wisdom. How can people reach you if they want to work with you?
Sure. Well... The best way to reach out to me right now, because I'm in the midst of a kind of a pivot in terms of how I'm working and who I'm working with. So right now, the best way is to hit me up on LinkedIn. Debbie Mitchell. I look just like this, the one with the curly hair. I'm connected to Stacy. I'm connected to her. But
perfect.
Yeah, everyone should be able to find me.
And you know what? I'll put the link in the show notes so people can reach you through that too. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll put your LinkedIn in the show notes. So this has been fantastic. For those who are listening, I can't tell you, it's the last day of Mercury retrograde and Debbie and I have had infinite technology challenges and we have no idea what's going on. We're actually not even sure if Debbie recorded, but you know, we're going to see. So it may be a very, very abridged episode or we may be recording it again another time. Okay. Yes. So thank you so much, Debbie. Any last words before we say goodbye?
Yes. I just want to thank you so much, Stacy. First of all, for inviting me to be in this space with you and to just kind of soak up some of your presence and your wisdom. But I also want to thank you for doing the work that you're doing, because one thing I recognize is that it's a really, really vitally important that every person can find a place and a space where they can connect with that wise soul that's intended for them. And that's what I love about the variety of coaches and modalities. And I can't wait actually to learn more about what you're doing and hear about all the success that you have with your clients. So thank you.
Thank you. To be continued, right? Like, we're back in each other's lives, and this is not
for sure.
This is not the last show at all. Okay.
For sure.
So, okay, you have a wonderful day, and
you too.
To be continued. Bye.
All right. Bye, friend. If he decides to see rolling hills or city streets, ocean to ocean and all in between, it's out there just waiting on you and me. Take it in, we got no plans. Good things come to those who can. Leave moment to moment and all in between, it's out there just waiting.